Scripture records these words. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled the sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. What a moment. What a moment in history that none of us, I'm sure every one of us, have heard, it is finished. Jesus said, it is finished. It's famous words. Famous words. But can you imagine at that moment what the disciples had to be going through? I mean, put yourself in their shoes for a minute. He's the one. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So in tune to that fact that when they took Jesus in the garden, he grabbed a sword and chopped off the ear of the man trying to take Jesus because he believes Jesus is the Messiah. There's no way he's supposed to be taken captive. Because in their minds, he's supposed to rule, reign, set up his kingdom. He's supposed to be Messiah, the great king, the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's supposed to be all those things that prophecy does say he will be. But they did not understand that Jesus was dying on the cross to fulfill the very word of God that they had read over so many times. And just kind of went, oh, I don't understand that. Isaiah 53, I don't understand it. And they read over it. And here Jesus is on the cross. And he's dying, and he says these final words, it is finished. It is finished, and he gave up the ghost. It's not his last words, it's his pretty much a phrase of words that he says, but it is finished is one phrase. The last phrase is, into thy hands I commit my spirit. John says, he gave up the ghost. It is finished, he says. Can you imagine the heartache in the apostles? How they must have felt when the Savior, the Messiah, the one they believed was the King, was dead. How they must have felt when they heard these words, it is finished. How can it be over? You're the Messiah. I mean, is he lost? Is it a mistake that the Savior, the Messiah, the King of Kings, would be on a cross? Is this some colossal mistake? How could he be captured? How could he be taken? You know, on the one time I went to Arkansas, and if you've ever been to Arkansas, it's very confusing. And I got lost there in Arkansas. I had a destination, I had a plan, I had an objective, but when I got there, I was lost. Is that what's going on here? Is Jesus lost? Is somehow on the way to perfection, on the way to being King of Kings and Lord of Lords, on the way to establishing his throne, did he get lost somehow and end up on a cross? No, he didn't. It wasn't a colossal mistake. It was perfectly planned out. Every detail, every I was dotted, every T was crossed. Jesus knew what he was doing. He knew why he was there. One preacher said that for 33 years, Jesus took every step towards that cross. It wasn't a mistake. It was so planned out that Psalms 22 records very powerful words. It says, they pierced his hands and they pierced his feet. It's a prophetic psalm. And if you study that psalm was written hundreds of years before crucifixion was ever even brought into play. The Persians were the ones who brought crucifixion in and began to crucify people. And the Romans took it and they made it even better and they perfected it. And it became a way of execution. When Psalms 22 was written, it was written hundreds of years before the cross or crucifixion was ever even thought of in the man's mind and heart. But God in his infinite wisdom and his omniscience said, in the future, my son will die there. God planted. He said, I will put enmity between thy seed and her seed, and you will bruise his heel, and he will crush your head. It was God said that this is going to happen. He said, I will provide myself a sacrifice. Abraham said, God shall provide. His name is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. It was forever planned, eternity planned. God knew that his son would have to die. It was strategically planned out. Even Jesus said, while he walked on the earth, they said, give us a sign. Tell us, how do we know that you are going, that you are the one? He said, I'll tell you what the sign is. It's the sign of Jonah. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days, so shall the Son of Man be in the earth for 3 days. I want to tell you the sign is there. He was there for 3 days. But the sign is the tomb is empty and you can visit it today. It's empty and he's not there. Because he's in my heart today. And he's in your heart today. Amen. He's in our hearts today. Jesus, it was all strategic. He wasn't lost. It wasn't a mistake. It was perfectly planned out. Jesus said to his disciples, the Son of Man will be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will take me. Disciples couldn't figure it out. They couldn't figure it out. I like this artist. His name is Holman Hunt. He painted a couple pictures that are really beautiful. And he depicts the young Jesus in the carpenter's house. He paints a picture of Jesus stretching out in a carpenter's home where Joseph and Mary's there in the background. And when he stretches out, he casts a shadow, and the shadow is a cross. Beautiful picture. He also painted another one where he's running to Mary, and as he's running, he stretches out his arms, and the shadow that's cast off of his body is the shape of a cross. Beautiful pictures. Because it was all planned. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Savior, and he will save his people from their sins. What a beautiful picture. It was all planned. It was all strategic. And even the final words are powerful. It is finished. Now, I know we read it is finished and we think, oh, it is finished. It's three words. But in the Greek, it's one word. It's tetelestai. It's one word. But it's full of meaning. It is completely deep. I can't even expound upon it. Matter of fact, Leonard Ravenhill put it this way. He said, the greatest words ever uttered by the greatest man who ever lived concerning the words, it is finished. He said this, I don't believe that ever in history, anywhere, at any time, by anybody, were three words more pregnant with meaning than the word Tetelestai, it is finished. It is done. It is accomplished. It is complete. It is perfect. You see, the word tetelestai packs within itself a full array of meaning. It means that a servant would come to his master and say, Master, you've given me a task. You have given me a chore, and I have finished it. And once the servant finishes the task, he will look at the master and say, Tetelestai, I've completed what you've asked. Jesus hanging on the cross, he says these words that everyone knows that servants say to their master in that day, Tetelestai, it is finished. It is done. I have completed what you've asked me to do. Jesus fulfilled everything that God wanted him to do. You could sum up Jesus' lives in his own words. He said, I came to do your will, O God. And he fulfilled it. He said, what you see, if you've looked at me, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Why? Because he was the image of the Father. Hebrews 1:1 says, he is the very expressed image of his person. He's the express glory of God. When you see Jesus, you see who the Father is. You see him through Jesus because he came to complete his will, to fulfill his will, to do what was necessary. Every law was fulfilled. And aren't you thankful that we're not under that law? Hallelujah. idea that Jesus finished it, tetelestai, he finished it, hallelujah. He finished the law for you and I because you couldn't do it. We couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. Even if you hang on the cross, even if you hung on the cross and your blood was shed, it still would not be worthy enough because you broke the law. It's always amazing when you hear people say, "Well, I just follow the Ten Commandments." Really? That's my religion with God. That's my relationship. I just follow the Ten Commandments. That's all I do. I'm a Ten Commandment guy. You mean you've never lied? Oh, well, who hasn't? I mean, come on. It'd be a lie for you to say you didn't lie. Well, you never use God's name in vain? You're a Ten Commandment person. You follow the commandments. You mean you've never looked at your neighbor's stuff and coveted? You mean you never dishonored your father and mother? You're a Ten Commandment person? I mean, you follow that? You're able to do that? You're that good and perfect? The truth is that all of us in some facet, in some form, have made mistakes concerning the Ten Commandments. And if you're going to meet God without the blood of Jesus and without following the line that Jesus has made, because no man comes to the Father but by Him. And if you're not going to come through Him and you're going to come in some other way, you're like the man that gets in the marriage who doesn't have on a wedding garment. And the Bible says that he's thrown out. We can't go any other way. He fulfilled it for us. He completed it. It's a word of completion. He completes the task that the Father has sent. When Jesus said tetelestai, when he said it is finished, what he means is that justice has been satisfied in the eyes of God. Remember that justice and holiness and righteousness and sanctification, they're all parts of God's attributes, and everybody wants to focus on grace, but you can't get to grace unless you come through justice and mercy. And you can't get there unless you come through holiness. And how do you get there? Because you can't do it. You don't have the ability to get through God's justice, through God's holiness, through God's righteousness, through God's sanctification. You don't have a way to get there outside of Jesus Christ. If the blood ain't applied, brother, you can't get past it. If you don't have the blood applied, holiness, you'll never measure up. Never. You got to come that way. And Jesus, when he said tetelestai, when he said it is finished, what he's saying is it's been complete, Lord. Justice is served. Hallelujah. Oh, man, it's hard not to jump and shout. Justice is served. Hallelujah. That means it's all fixed. It's all done. It's all complete. The Bible said that he blotted out the ordinance and the handwriting against us. He nailed it to his cross. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm sorry if I'm turning purple. I'm excited. I'm just fired up. Amen. This is wonderful stuff. It is finished. Tetelestai. When he utters these words, the Bible says that the veil in the temple rent, it tore from the top to the bottom. You know what that veil is? It's a veil of separation. It separated men from God. Scholars have said that it's, you know, everyone's skeptical, 6 inches thick and 4 inches thick, and some who are really holiness, oh, it's 10 inches thick. Who knows, okay? It was a thick veil of separation. And when that tore from the top to the bottom and the holies of holies was exposed, mercy and grace came screaming out of the heavens because it was done. It was finished. Oh, what a powerful word. Oh, I wish that we could see what that was going on in the spiritual realm, because our eyes and our hearts would leap with joy. We wouldn't just look at it and say, oh, he said some words. But you would see such power be unleashed on the earth, such glory that when Jesus died, that even the dead woke up that day because of the power of the grace of God and the mercies of our Lord. tetelestai, it is finished. It is a word of completion. It means, I did what you asked me to do, Lord. It's also a word of acceptance. Because a priest would take a lamb that was brought, and he would bring the lamb to the high priest, and the high priest would examine, because you couldn't offer just any lamb. It had to be perfect. It had to be accepted. And so they brought the lamb to the priest. It is a word of acceptance. A word that the priest would literally say that when he looked at the lamb, he would examine the lamb. He would look at the lamb and he would see if there was any blemishes. If there was any blemish, it was rejected. Sorry, this one won't work. You need another one. But Jesus, when he said, it is finished, tetelestai, it's what the priest would say when the lamb was accepted. He would say, tetelestai. It's complete. It's perfect. It's right. It's holy. When Jesus said tetelestai, what he was saying is, it's perfect. It's right. It's no mistake. There's no blemish. I was holy. I was pure. I was right. And that was accepted in the eyes of God. It is a word that means atonement for you and me. We could not be atoned without the blood of Jesus. There's no atonement for us. We couldn't be atoned without it. We couldn't be pure without it. We couldn't be clean without it. But because Jesus said it is finished, the high priest says it is accepted. It is not just a word of completion and acceptance, but it is a word of perfection. You see, an artist would draw his paintings, or he would paint his paintings, and or he would sculpt his sculptures. And as he was finishing it, he would make sure every detail was done. I'm not an artist, but I can draw a mean stick figure. And well, my wife says that's kind of sloppy too, so I guess I'm just not an artist. It's hard for me to pay attention to details, but if you like art and you're an artist, you can relate to this because you're very detail oriented. Every little curve's got to be right. Every little shading and shadow's got to be perfect. Me, shadows are just dark blotches on a piece of paper. But the artist, when he finishes and he puts every detail and it's perfectly done and he's accepted it, he steps back and he looks at his art, especially in this day, he would say, tetelestai, it's finished. It's done. It's perfect. Do you know that that's exactly what Jesus was doing on the cross? Everything was perfect. Every curve was done. Every shade was perfect. He painted the picture of redemption, and when he was done, he stepped back and he said, tetelestai, it's all perfect. It's perfect. It's done just right. It's perfectly done. Look at your neighbor and tell him Satan's power is broken. Satan's power was destroyed the moment Jesus said, it is perfect, tetelestai, his power was broken. Sin had no more reign in our lives. Hallelujah. Sin had no more reign. But the glory of God, the power of the Holy Spirit has delivered us from the clutches of sin. Because Jesus said, tetelestai, it is finished. It is finished. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? It is a lost in the perfect artwork of redemption. It is a lost in Jesus' magnificent masterpiece. On that cross, Jesus was painting a painting that you and I could never even fathom. The artist of all artists, the glory of God, was painting a picture that you and I could never do, never understand fully until we get there in heaven to understand it fully. How beautiful it was when Satan's power was destroyed, when Jesus said, it is finished. No more bondages. No more bondages. bondages. You may be bound by something this morning. I want you to know it is finished. Tetelestai. It is finished. Tetelestai. I want you to know that if you're hungry for something in God, it is finished. It is finished. And you can have it in the Lord this morning. Oh, mercy. Hallelujah. Not only was it a word of acceptance, a word of completion, and a word of perfection, it was a word that signified paid in full. It was a word that said, it's been paid. It's a word of satisfaction. Satisfied. Satisfied. When the blood of Jesus had been spilt enough, God was satisfied. When the cup of wrath, of the wrath of God and the wrath of man poured out upon his son was accepted, it was the word of satisfaction. It is finished. God was satisfied that it was done. The Bible said, I've always read these words and it just always just gets into my heart about the love of God, because the Bible says that it pleased the Father to bruise him. How deep the Father's love for us. How measureless, how strong. How deep it goes. If I with ink could write the love of God, and were the skies of parchment made, I could never write how much he loves me on the skies for eternity. What a beautiful song that is. The love of God is rich and pure. It's full of glory. How much he loves us to say it is satisfied. Listen, you owed a debt. You owed a debt that you could not pay. And the law said you couldn't pay it. When you were exposed to the law, you didn't even know sin until the law came. But when the law came, sin revived, and all of a sudden you were dead. You couldn't pass anymore ignorance. You couldn't pass on ignorance anymore. You had to deal with that. But you couldn't pay it. You couldn't satisfy it. You couldn't meet the payment. You couldn't even make the monthly bill. Let's put it this way, you couldn't pay the rent in heaven. Amen? Someone had to pay your bill. Someone had to pay your bill. And Jesus hanging on the cross, when he said, it is finished, he says, tetelestai, it means it's paid. You see, in that day, when somebody went to a merchant and bought something, they would give him a written receipt, and on the top of the receipt, it would say, tetelestai. It means paid in full. Jesus paid in full your debt. He paid in full your debt. Now, how silly is it for you to carry your debt without getting it paid? Preachers have said for years, it's like Jesus bought you a plane ticket to go to heaven, but why aren't you in line to get go on the plane? Why don't you have your ticket? It's been paid for. It's been done. That's why the Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God, because how dare you reject the payment? He paid it all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed me white as snow. Isn't that a beautiful song? Our young people need to learn the hymns more than they need to learn some of these other stuff. Full of doctrine, full of meaning. At the cross, sin was given a death blow in your life. Sin is no longer to have dominion, no longer to own you, no longer to possess you. You are to be free. The problem is most people don't realize they're bound up. They're so bound in sin that they can't handle. They got to be at the bar every weekend. They're so bound by sin that the drug dealer gets more of their money than their own kids do. Sin gets in our lives and it binds us and it corrupts us and it puts us in a prison in our heart. But Jesus came to set the captives free, to preach deliverance, to bring us hope. And that hope was nailed to a cross. And when he died, he said, "It is finished. It is paid in full." And sin was dealt the death blow. No more. No more. No more do you have to walk in bondages. No more. Well, what do you mean? I struggle with things. I'm a Christian. I love God. I struggle with things. Listen, everyone struggles with things. That really means you are a Christian. Because before it wasn't a struggle. It just had you. Amen. Praise God for struggling. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God for struggling. Amen. It's when it's not a struggle that we need to worry. Let me end with this, and I'll be done, okay? Let me end with this thought, and I'm finished. Let me ask you this. Are we allowing Christ to finish us? Are we allowing Christ to finish us? He finished the work on Calvary, but he took up another work. It's me and you. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How faithful and loving he must be, because he's still working on me. Remember that old song? Remember that little chorus the kids sing? He's still working on us. But is he allowed to finish you? Are you still clay in the potter's hand? Are you still moldable and pliable? Can God still teach you? You know, some of us, we get old and set in our ways. Nobody in here, of course. We're talking about the church down the road, okay? We're talking about them folks down there. Are you pliable that the Holy Spirit could come to you and say, "You've been doing this for 50 years and I don't like it"? Can the Holy Ghost do that to you? Can he still direct you and deal with you and convict you and lead you and change you and transform you? Are you moldable in the hands of the Master? Can he finish you? Can the perfect artist who Jesus is paint a picture of your life and make it what he wants? Or are we that one guy or that one, you know, them people who want something done by somebody else but always have an opinion on how it should be done better? I'm sure you could think of people in your family or your friends or that they want someone else to do a task, but they're right over them. Well, don't do it that way. No. You do it, but do it this way. Are we that kind of person? We're like, "Lord, paint whatever you want." But wait. Don't paint me as a missionary. Oop, don't paint me as a tithe payer. Lord, you can have my leftovers. Oh, Lord, you can have a little bit of my I'll give a little offering on this. And Lord, you don't ask me to give any more of my time. Sunday morning, that's all you get. So just paint me as one of those people. There's some people that tell God, "I'll let you paint me an Easter and a Christmas service." Come on, now, I know that's rougher preaching, but I'm coming right where we live. Okay, right where we live. I know that can be difficult sometimes to handle, but don't be offended. I'm not by any means throwing stones at anybody. I'm simply stating, are we allowing God to finish us? Are we allowing God to finish us? Are we allowing him to change us, transform us? Are we growing today, or are you in the same ruts you've been in for years? Think about that for a moment. Selah. Chew on that for a second. Are we going back and forth over the same thing? Or are we growing? Are we growing? Because that's a sign that God can finish us, that God can form us. Can God complete you? Can God accept the offering? Paul said, offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. He said this, it's your most reasonable thing to do. It's the most reasonable thing to do. Why? Because he did so much for you and I. That's why. It's the most reasonable service. Is your body a living sacrifice that God could say, I want to do this with your body, and you'll say, okay. He told my body, move to Kingman. And I said, are you sure? All the Kingmanites said, amen. I said, okay, Lord, whatever you want. Is your body a living sacrifice? Let me ask you this. Has sin been dealt a death blow in your life? Because it was dealt a death blow on the cross. And the cross, the tomb is empty this morning, claiming victory for us. So because it is, has it been dealt a death blow in your life? In other words, that don't mean that I'm not saying that you won't battle sin, because how many know we have, I call them Klingons, but what happens is in our life, things stick to us. The old life is sticky, and it follows us as Christians, doesn't it? You know, you first got saved, you thought, presto change-o, it's all perfect now, I'm going to be perfect. The world's wonderful, I'll never ever make another mistake. Woo! I'll never ever struggle with the other things I ever struggle with. Yeah, whatever. Right? You learn that wasn't true the moment you walked out the church or got up out of the prayer altar. The devil was right there to bring back all those things. I call them Klingons, but they're just sticky things. They stick to our lives and they follow us. I'm not talking that we're not going to struggle with certain things in life, but what I am saying is that is it a struggle that you hate sin as much as God hates sin? Is it something that when sin is there, does it create a distaste in your heart? Has God brought you to a place where it's so finished in your life that you just want to be there with him? That you look forward to the day that you behold his face? How finished is it? How finished is it?